Don't you appreciate these two men? Let's say one more time thank you to them. All right, good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3. Tonight we're going to continue to talk about how to pray for your church. How to pray for your church. There's always a lot of ideas about how we pray for our church. If you're a guest with us tonight, we're honored to have you. And I'm Pastor Mike, and we're glad you're here for the Bible study with us. And we hope you'll come back as you have the opportunity if you're here with us. Last week, two weeks ago, we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, and there are two prayers Paul prays for the Ephesian church in this letter. Now, you're going to have your Bible tonight. I don't have any overheads. We're going old school tonight, so this is the way it works. If you've got your Bible memorized, that's good. If not, you just follow along, and I'll do the best I can to help you follow where we're going to be. Last week, we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, or 2 weeks ago, and Paul was praying this prayer. And let me just read it, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at the second prayer of Paul as he prayed for the Ephesian church. Think about this. So what should you be praying for First Baptist Church Dixon? That's good, Wayne. Everybody here has an opinion about that, but let's be guided by the Word of God. What is it that Paul prayed for these churches that he ministered to? Well, what I want us to learn is that's what we should be praying about. That's the way we should pray. We should pray in the way Paul prayed. And so what I'm wanting us to do is pray these things for our church. That's where I'm going with this. So Paul says, Ephesians chapter 1, he says in verse number 15, "For this reason I, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." All right, here we go. What does Paul pray? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come." So let me remind us again. Paul says to us how we're to pray. First of all, our prayer ought to be that all of us here, all of us who are part of this church, the 2,000 plus people who are members of this church, we need to pray that each of them will come to know God in His character and the way He works. That was Paul's first request for these Ephesians, that they might know God. Then he prays that they would understand God's purposes. Oh, here's where we go, right here. Everybody in this room. You know, I say this to this church all the time. Be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. Did you know that? Some of us don't talk about it, but all of us are living in this world with our own set of needs and issues. Be kind to everybody. Everybody's having a hard time. So what is God's purpose for me? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Well, first you've got to understand your calling. There's a hope in your calling. This is what we talked about. I'm not going to re-preach this because I got a lot more to go. I'm just reminding you. The hope of your calling. You were called to follow. You were called to be saved. Jesus said, "Follow me." You're called to salvation. You're called to serve. And by the way, if you live for Jesus in the world, you're going to suffer. We're going to suffer just like the Lord Jesus if we stand for Him, if we declare Him to be our Lord. Some people aren't going to like it. They're going to make rules against it, and you're going to have to deal with it. The hope of our calling. Then he talks about the riches of our inheritance. Do you know how rich you are? Well, we're going to come back to that tonight. Some of you are worried about your bank account. But I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm talking about your riches spiritually. Do you really know how rich you are? that helps you to understand what you go through things here, but oh, don't forget, this is what he calls the riches of the glory of your inheritance, all that you have beyond this world. And we talked all about that. And then we talked about the fact that we need to understand, and this is the link to his second prayer. He says here that we will understand the surpassing, verse 19, the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us who believe. Now, I mentioned this to you, the Greek word here, this phrase, toward us, is a word that means to be energized. It's energy. It is the power of God that energizes us. It's real. We're not in here having class. We're not in here talking about experimental things and ideas and philosophy. What Paul wants the church to know is there's real power in salvation and in knowing Jesus, and that power starts to work inside of you. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you listening to me tonight? God's people are people who are empowered by Him. How are we going to pray for this church? Well, we're all down, Brother Mike. Oh, we're all down. That's right, we're all down. We're all down. We could spend the rest of tonight going around talking about how down we are. Did you know that? We could pass the microphone and everybody could give their story on how down they are. But the prayer I'm praying for this church, hope you'll join me. Number one, I hope you'll know God. And I hope you'll know Him in His character and in His ways. You'll come to know God. Oh, some of you have been around a long time like me. We still need to know God. Did you know that? There's never going to be a time in your life where you don't need to understand and know God better. That's the beauty of a relationship with God. You continue to get deeper, deeper, deeper in that relationship. I'm praying that all of you will come to know God. Do you know the Lord? Jesus said, John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you and your Son whom you have sent. The core of eternal life is a relationship with God that's growing. Do you understand and know more about God today than the day you were saved? Well, this is what we're talking about here. This is the power of God. Paul prays that the church at Ephesus would know God. I'm praying it for you. You pray it for me. Second, I'm praying for you. You pray for me that I'll understand God's calling in my life. The hope of His calling to salvation, to service, and to suffering. Pray that I'll understand and you'll understand the riches of what we have that's beyond this world. It's eternal. It's heavenly. It's in an invisible realm that's as real as this realm. And third, this is the big one. This is the big one. This is the link. That you and I will come to understand the surpassing greatness of God's power working and focused on you as an individual. All right, with that in mind, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Word of God being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I say to you again what I have said to you before. Forgive me when I am muttering, murmuring, and complaining. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me for not relying upon your power and strength in my life. And I'm not alone in asking that prayer. Many of us in this room have about given up. Many of us in this room are in deep trouble and pain, and we have forgot that when we were saved, the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God was released to work in our spirit, in our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and in our body. Help us to understand this tonight, Lord. I pray for this church that we might come to know you and that we might understand the purpose you have for us in our calling, the purpose you've given to us and the blessing of our inheritance in heaven and all that goes with that, and that we would come to know and experience your power in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we read the second prayer, chapter 3. Paul begins tonight. We'll begin in verse number 14. Notice it's linked in the same way as the first prayer. For this reason, which tells you, and I'm not going to go back and do it, but that means a lot of things Paul's been saying coming down to this build on why he prays this prayer. So you're going to have to go back and look at chapter 3, the first part of it, and you'll just see some glorious things there, which I don't want to begin to do that because it'll get me off track, and I've got a lot I want you to hear tonight. So if we're going to pray for the church in the right way, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. All right, here we go now. Verse 16. Notice there's a line of things. I'm going to give you three things that Paul prays for this church. I want them to be also included in our prayers for our church. So I hope you'll jot them down somewhere, unless you have an incredible memory and you can just remember these things. I bow my knees before the Father that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, please notice this, according to the power that works around us. Is that what it says? No, it says within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. How's that for a prayer, folks? How's that for a prayer? Now I want to talk to you about how rich you are. You're rich. You're rich. We live off of the wealth of God, those of us who are born again. We live off the riches of God. We live off of an endowment. If you've ever heard of an endowment, sometimes schools have people who've given monies for years, and it's from families, and it's an endowment for a certain part of the school in sciences or some other place. And professors teach for years being paid out of an endowment. Paid, and the endowment remains, and it just keeps paying, and it just keeps paying. I want you to think about your endowment. You have one. You don't see it here? It's the beginning of this prayer. Chapter 3, verse number 16. I pray that God the Father would grant you. You know, when I went to school, I was from a poor family, 5 kids, and I was the first one to get to go to college, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for a school, a Baptist school, that took a chance on me. I didn't have any way to pay for it. I had no way to go. But there was a grant available. A grant isn't that you pay, it's not a loan. You listen to me? A grant is a gift. And I'm grateful for the grant so that I am able to be here. It's a part of what some people did many, many years ago in that Baptist school to help to young preachers who are going to school who didn't have any money. So I went to school on a grant, you know, and then threw in whatever money I could make on the side. I'm not complaining about how I grew up. I'm just trying to give you a testimony. I've lived and understand what it means to receive a grant. So if we were all reading this in the Greek language, this word is the word didymi, give, grant, that He would grant you. It's the same Greek word He prays in the first prayer. He prays you know, back over here in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will grant you. You know, when I pray, I'm drawing on the grant that God has given me. Now, I'm trying to help you tonight. The Lord Jesus said to us when we pray, "Our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then what's the next phrase? What's the word? Give us, same word. Grant us our what? Daily bread. When we pray, we're drawing on our endowment. I'm talking about children of God now. When we pray, we pray to ask the Lord to grant something to us. You know why? I don't deserve anything. Do you? I don't deserve anything. But as a child of God, I have an endowment. I've been enriched. I want you to see this. Look, I may get stuck here, but this is worth it. I'm really trying to wear you down tonight. I want you to hear this. I know some of you want me to go on, get through this. But I'm slowing down here because I want you to look at this phrase. This is so good. This will help you. You're rich. You have riches that can never be exhausted. You can draw upon the riches of God your entire life, and all of God's people drawing on them at the same time, and all of the generations that have come before, and all the others that will come after until Jesus comes, we're drawing on the same endowment, and it never ever is bankrupted. Now, does that not encourage you tonight? You are rich. I want you to feel this tonight. You are a rich person with an endowment, and you have been granted. And when we pray, we ask God to grant us. Here's the way we usually pray. We pray for God to take care of things. We don't pray like this. We pray for the things here. We pray for this world, not the other world. We don't pray with a spiritual mind. Oh, folks, this is very important. This is very important. So Paul says, I'm locking in right here, verse 16. I bow my knees. I get before the Father as humbly as I can, and I ask for some riches out of the grant. I ask that he would grant according to what? The riches, now this is important, of his glory. The riches of God are grounded in the person of God. There is no, he is the eternal God. He is the eternal one. He is the magnificent one. He is the majestic one. He is the glorious one. We are so earthbound, we cannot appreciate the glory of God. What does John tell us? I'm working on this on Sunday mornings with us about meeting Jesus. John said, we saw the glory of Jesus. Glory, same word, glory of Jesus. Full of grace. Full of glory. Full. Jesus was full of grace and full of glory. When you think about the riches of God, I'm going to run through a list really fast because we could spend the rest of tonight on riches, but I want you to know his riches, we live off of the wealth of God and who he is. We live off of who he is. When I come to know Jesus Christ, you know why I need to know God? Because out of God comes the grants the riches for me to live. So what riches do we see? I'm just going to go quickly through these. This word riches is a word that means abundance. I want to say it again. Can you imagine having an endowment that it didn't matter how much you had to go get money out of it, it would never run out? That's what you have in knowing Jesus and being born again. But you have to know it. We live like we have nothing. We live like we're poor. We live like we're just hoping we can claw by. No, this is why we pray for the church like this. Know God, know the hope of His calling, know our inheritance in heaven, and know about His power. And we must first then recognize that God grants us out of His riches. So what does He do? He gives us these riches, and they're amazing. I'm going to just read you a verse, and then I'm just going to give you these other ones and just go quickly here. I feel like a used car salesman tonight. I'm having to go fast, but I got a lot to tell you. Romans 10:12 says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. He's talking about once we come to know the Lord and we're saved. Whosoever believes in Him will not be disappointed." That's verse 11. He says, "There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all." Listen. "Abounding in riches for all who call on Him." Did you mark that down? You need to go home and think about that. Abounding in riches. He just keeps pouring it on you when you call on Him. Abounding in riches. You say, "Well, Pastor Mike, my bank account hadn't changed." That's not what I'm talking about. "Well, I didn't get a new house out of it." That's not what I'm talking about. Something else. There's another kind of riches that abound to you. The riches of His kindness, Romans 2:4. The riches of God's knowledge. Oh, it's a rich thing to be able to know God. You know why? The majority of the world is walking around with no clue about who God is. They just take God's name in vain. The riches of knowing God, the riches of the wisdom of God. You know, that means, okay, I now know God, but I also understand this is God's way for my life. We spent 3 years in this room studying the book of Proverbs, half of the year. Why? Because we must understand that knowledge leads to wisdom, wisdom leads to understanding, and God has a way for us to live. The riches of God's kindness, the riches of His knowledge, the riches of His wisdom, the riches of His grace. Oh, Paul talks about this over and over. The riches of our inheritance. This is what we went through last time. The riches of Christ and the riches of His glory. Well, I could say a lot about that, but I must move on. So what is it we pray for the church now? First of all, number one, Paul prays in the second prayer. He prays that God would grant to all His people, all right? When I talk about the church, remember, I'm not talking about a building. God's people are the church, His born-again people. And there's a gathering of His born-again people who meet in this location called First Baptist Church. Paul prays that God would grant to His people, number one, are you ready for this? Inner strength. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if nobody else in this room needs it, the speaker needs this. So how about this? If you don't want to pray it for anybody else, pray it for me. Because I'm going to raise my hand and tell you, there's not a day, there's not an hour that goes by that I do not need the power of God inside of me. Am I alone in here? Am I the only one? I'm not talking about strength outside. Look, we got strong guys in here. Strong guys. Some guys in here think they're stronger than they really are. They're trying to act like they're strong, but they're not as strong as they used to be. I'm talking about inner strength. I'm talking about something on the inside. It's what Jesus had. It's the way He carried Himself. The amazing majesty of Jesus and His inner strength. God wants us to be empowered on the inside. So notice what he says, next phrase in verse 16 of Ephesians 3. That he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. So we learn a lot about this from Paul. Paul teaches us more about when you're born again, he helps us understand that there's an old Mike before I was born again with all of my old ways and sinful ways, and there's a new Mike. I have an old nature and I have a new nature. And it's the inner man. It's learning to understand this inner man, be strengthened in the inner man. What he's talking about is in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions. Anybody in here ever be anybody in here ever get in trouble with your emotions? Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever in here be stubborn in your will? Don't raise your hand. Anybody in here ever have trouble with your mind? You can't shut it off. You can't get control of it. Well, I'll raise my hand. I'm guilty of all three. I need the strength of God to help me with my mind, will, and emotions. I don't always think like I ought to think. I certainly am stubborn and don't want to do what I'm supposed to do. When I read the Word of God, I'm disobedient. I'm resistant. I'm rebellious. That's will. And then all of those emotions that I have from the old way that I was made. You know, I blame it on my family. Just like, you know, people will say, well, you know, I'm redheaded, so that's why I'm mad. No, you're mad because you're in the flesh. Doesn't matter what color your hair is. So here we see this, church, and this is very important. Hear my exhortation tonight. There's not a person who's a part of First Baptist Church who does not need every day inner strength from the Holy Spirit in their inner person. Every one of us needs it. Every one of us. So he talks about this surpassing power. I want you to go back in chapter 1. Look at verse 20 at this power. He brought about this mighty power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. When he put everything, verse 22, under subjection to his feet, and he put Jesus as head over the church. That's the power of God. The power of God was first seen in Christ, in his resurrection. It's the same power. Please hear me, folks. We read sometimes the gospel about the resurrection. We go to Easter, we think about that power. Do you not hear what Paul's saying? That's the same power that gives you inner strength. But why do some of us live as if we can't overcome? How many times have I said to the Lord, I can't do it? And the Lord says, you're just about there. If you'll say that, I can do it through you. Didn't Paul say, I can do what? All things through who what? There it is. There's the testimony. I can do what I do because of the power of Jesus in me. When the power of Jesus is not at work in my life, I'm a pitiful preacher. That's why I get in trouble. But I don't think I'm alone. So we pray for this strength from the power of the Holy Spirit to be released inside of us. It's God's surpassing power in our inner person. I want to read you a verse. 2 Corinthians 4:16. And I want you to hear what Paul says, because this is my burden for you to hear. So how do we experience this power? Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man, same thing. Remember what you just pray? I'm praying that your inner man will be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says here, our inner man is being renewed day by day. You recharge, you renew every day. And this is where I'm going to go back to my old words. I've said it. Now I've been here long enough that, you know, you're saying, well, you're old, Pastor Mike, and you repeat yourself. Well, yeah, I do. Both of those things are true. Sometimes I repeat myself on purpose. If you do not read your Bible, if you do not pray, if you do not spend time with God daily, if you do not memorize, meditate the Word of God, if you do not eat spiritually regularly, no wonder you are weak. No wonder you yield yourself to temptation. I've got this green paper on here. You remember, I'm the naive pastor. I believe that everybody in our church is reading our daily Bible reading every day. Remember, don't tell me it's not true. I believe everybody's reading every day. I believe everybody's praying every day. But then I look in my life when I don't eat spiritually, I have no strength in my inner man. You see, God's given us through Jesus' practices the way to do this. I want to ask you today, did you start this day being renewed again? Oh, yesterday's renewal won't last. It's a daily thing. So I could get off on that rabbit trail, but I'm not going to. Paul says we are renewed day by day on the inner man. You see, if you do not renew yourself spiritually every day, you will fall back, you'll get weak, and you'll go back to your old ways. Paul prays. He prays for the Ephesians that they will be empowered, strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Notice the next thing. This is astounding. Verse 17. Strengthened so that Christ can make his home in us. Now read this carefully. So that Messiah, so that the promised one, Jesus, may dwell. These words may dwell in the Greek language. This is the idea of make a permanent home. We really have trouble comprehending that God, after you're born again, comes to dwell inside of our human body and our mind, will, and emotions. But the Word of God says you are possessed now by God if you're born again. We often talk about demon-possessed people, but did you know Paul spends his time talking about God-possessed people? God-possessed people have a strength. They have a way of living. They have a fruitfulness in their life. They have a character in their life. That's not that way you say. So see, I have to come to a conclusion. Either I'm not born again because I have no power, or I'm not eating regularly. I am born again, but I'm so weak spiritually. And my spiritual life is just weakness. No power. No power. So Paul says that Christ may dwell in you. This is an astounding verse. I want to read it to you again. We've read it many times. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, listen to the Lord now. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode, our home with him. Those of you who are born again, the Holy Spirit of God dwells, the wholeness of who God is now within you. There's no temple to go to. There's no temple to go to. There's no building you attend this and do this. You go to your quiet place and you meet, as the Lord Jesus told us, in the closet. And you meet God and you are renewed and you hear from him and you gain your daily strength for your mind, will, and emotions. And some of us don't need another pill. We need to pray. I'm not criticizing medicine, but I'm talking about the power of God. Look, friend, you can be religious and know all these things like a theory book, or you can live them. My prayer is that First Baptist Church will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, and that we will discover and understand that Christ has taken up his, made his home in all of us at the same time through faith. I believe that all of God, all of Messiah, all the Holy Spirit, all of God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit now is inside of me. I believe that. I don't always live understanding that or in the fullness of that. I believe it. I believe what the Bible says is true. I've experienced those times in my life, but I've also experienced those times when I'm so weak spiritually, I find myself back doing things that I shouldn't do. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, you are in the Spirit if the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's Romans 8, 9. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, test yourself. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Do you not know that Christ is in you? Ephesians chapter 2, 22, we're being built up into a dwelling for God. Well, he goes on and he prays that we would be strengthened with power by God's love. Look at the prayer. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. What a great phrase. Roots. Roots. They secure. They stabilize. And grounded. This is actually a word that describes a foundation. A foundation. Firmly rooted. The idea here is this is a continuing condition. I'm continuing to be rooted. The roots keep going down. The foundation gets stronger. The foundation is built on, we learn some of these things about our foundation. Our foundation is based upon those who've gone before us, upon the Word of God. In fact, in Ephesians 2:22, he says, in whom the whole building of the church is being fitted together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God. And if you read verse 20 of chapter 2, we have been built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. So, you know what we're grounded on? The truth of God's Word. We're grounded. You know what I'm going to spend my time trying to understand? Not what Dr. So-and-so says, but what does God say? Right here. Right here. That's why we read this every day. That's why we go to it. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, I must eat spiritually as well as physically. I must eat. I must eat. I must eat. So this rooting and this grounding in God's love, it just starts to overwhelm me. One of the most beautiful passages in Paul's, there's so many in Romans 5, but he says this amazing thing in Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint. Listen, because the love of God has been poured out, listen, within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So when I'm at my, when I'm having the hardest day, when I'm having my hardest time, but I'm being strengthened by the Holy Spirit, you know what he keeps saying to me? You are loved by God. Now that's good, isn't it? I don't deserve to be loved by God, but I'm loved by God. The Holy Spirit just keeps saying, you're loved by God. Roots go down. You're loved by God. Foundation of Scripture, the truth of God's Word. Second thing he prays, number one, he prays that they'll have inner strength by the Holy Spirit. Second, he prays that they will be strengthened in their mind to have, to comprehend the love of Christ. Look at this. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. I'm looking around. There's some saints in here. This isn't all of them, but there's a group of saints in here, holy ones. I'm praying that our church will come to comprehend together, not just individually, together, the love, the breadth, the height, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ. I'm praying for you as I want you to pray for me that I will be strong enough to comprehend the love of God, the love of Christ. The love of Christ is beyond dimension. You can't put the love of Christ within dimensions. This is the four-dimensional, this is that four-dimensional description Paul gives. The love of Christ is beyond comprehension. It's wide enough to reach the world. Wide. It's long enough to stretch from eternity to eternity. The love of Christ. It's high enough to raise us to heaven. And it's deep enough to save us from our sins. The love of Christ. What else really matters when we're together? Whatever else we want to think about, the only thing that brings us to this place and gives us union together is the love of Christ. Paul goes on to understand something we don't understand very well. The pressure he felt, he said, the love of Christ constrains me. That word, he talks about that later. It's what caused Paul to go. There are estimates that Paul walked in his ministry life over 10,000 miles. Was he mad? Was he crazy? No. He was just a normal Christian who was doing what God called him to do. What if God ignited in all of us what I'm talking about? Get ready. There's no bomb. There's no power that can stop God's people, when their strength is strong, when they understand God's power and they live their life with a continuing desire to comprehend even more and more and more the love of Christ. When was the last time you sat down and thought about the love of Jesus? The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is never completely knowable because we're thinking about the one who is eternal. He says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, it surpasses knowledge. Verse 19. We just keep going. We just keep experiencing it. Romans chapter 8, 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8, 37, in all things we conquer through Him who loved us. Romans 8, 39, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate, not from the power, not from the grace, from His love. That's why Jesus said, this is my commandment, love one another. And we've spent a lot of time talking about what love is. We spent many, many weeks together, if you're a part of this church and you come to church on Sunday morning, looking at 1 Corinthians 13, what is love? Finally, Paul prays that God would strengthen His people to be filled up, to be completely full. Now, Pat will make some meatloaf sometimes, and it's a favorite way she makes it. It's got all these secrets in it, recipe in it. Sometimes she makes spaghetti, and she does it just like Grandma. She knows the trick. She puts a little sugar in the spaghetti. I love you for it, honey. And man, do I eat that spaghetti. I eat more than I should, and I'm full. Did you know God intends for you to be full of Him, not full of the world, not full of yourself? Now, if I'm making anybody uncomfortable tonight, I'm just preaching the Bible. So I hope you're not upset with me. I love you in Jesus. I'm just doing my job. I want you to see this prayer. This is what we pray for each other about, not just praying that, you know, God straighten the preacher out. I need that. You can pray that. I need you to do it every day. Or straighten out whoever, or do this, or do that. No, let's turn it around. Let's ask God to give us strength in here on the inside. Let's ask the Lord to give us enough strength to understand who dwells in us. Let's ask the Lord to give us enough strength to understand and accept and go down deep in security and foundation and the love of God and start to think about what really matters, the love of Christ, which is beyond comprehension, so that, here's what happens to you. This is how you get filled up. People say to me sometimes, Pastor Mike, I just want to go where people, where there's deep teaching on God's word. I have no idea what that means. I've never known what that means all my life. I've heard that. The point of being born again is to be like Jesus. I'm going to go back to John 1. We beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father. Are you listening? Full. The Greek word is pleroma. Full of grace and truth. The point of the word is completely filled to the top and overflowing. We're to be like Jesus, full of God. Full of God. You say, oh no, Brother Mike's turning into a Pentecostal. I'm just preaching the Bible. That you may be filled up to all. The point of this Greek phrase is, in Greek, is it's filled completely to the top. Filled as much as you can be filled. To all the fullness of God. That's what brings peace. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the knowledge of His will, Colossians 1:9. Filled with God's fullness. Did you know in John chapter 1, John says this? He says, of Jesus' fullness. Now you need to go home and think about this. This is John 1:16. Of Jesus' fullness, and I got to finish, we all have received grace upon grace. He just keeps giving it. He just keeps giving it. And God is able to do this, and here's the way I'll close, with a praise. You know what I believe? I believe everything I've said tonight that we pray for, God will do in all of our lives. I believe that. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Amen? He started talking about being strengthened with power, and he ends with praise, saying we can be filled and experience the powerful work of God within us. May the Lord help that to happen in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth of your word, how we pray that we would be strengthened by the power of your Spirit on the inner man, that we might come by faith to understand that you dwell within us and that we are rooted and grounded in your love, and that we might come to comprehend as a group the beyond dimensions, the love of Christ, and that you would fill us full of who you are and of yourself, so that we might be your witnesses in this world until you're finished with us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great